Srila Prabhupada ki Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki Grantaraj Shiva Bhagavatam ki Giriraj Maharaj ki Gopremanande. Okay. So tonight we'll continue chapter 52. What is chapter 52 called? The marriage of Krishna and Rukmini. So we'll go from verses 23 to 44 and we'll finish the chapter. Can you just close that door, someone? Okay. Hearing of the beauty, prowess, transcendental character, and opulence of Mukunda. It's not locked. Just closed. Hearing of the beauty, prowess, transcendental character, and opulence of Mukunda from visitors to the palace who sang his praises, Rukmini decided that he would be the perfect husband for her. Rukesh, you want to?
The word Sadrisham indicates that Rukmini and Sri Krishna had similar qualities and thus were naturally attracted to each other. Even Bhishmaka was a pious man, and therefore many spiritually advanced persons must have visited his palace. Undoubtedly, these saintly persons preached openly about the bodies of Sri Krishna.
So, any points?
Bhishmaka was the devotee of Lord. Bhishmaka was the devotee of Lord. So he brought saintly people to the court.
Good. Anything else? Yeah. Any other points? So, Krishna can only be married to his internal parties. Krishna cannot marry his external potency. The only personalities who are fit to marry Krishna are his own devotees. It means the internal potency itself. If it's not possible for Krishna to have contact with the external energy, the material energy. If God has contact with the external energy, then he changes his position to Shiva. Lord Shiva has connection with the external potency, but Krishna does not. That's the difference. One of the differences between Vishnu Tattva and Shiva Tattva. Vishnu Tattva, or the Supreme Godhead, never directly contacts the external energy. Krishna is always separate. It's only by his Shakti that he makes contact. So Lord Shiva, he will directly contact the material energy. He marries Parvati, who is Maya personified. So Krishna can only marry his internal potency. Has to be the Daivi Prakriti, has to be the spiritual energy. Ladini Shakti. So Rukmini is Ladini Shakti. She is the eternal consort of the Lord. She's a direct expansion of Chandravali. So Chandravali is an expansion of Radharani. Radharani is Ladini Shakti personified. Ladini Shakti emanates from Radharani. So when Krishna has any contact, it has to be with the internal potency. And the internal potency can never have contact with the material energy. Which means that no one else but Krishna can directly contact his consorts. You see, with the gopis, they can't be touched by anyone else. That's why they have so-called husbands, like that. It's described. but they can never directly contact any material personality. And Rukmini and the queens, they can never be directly contacted by any material person. So it's not possible for someone else to marry. Now also we hear in this verse the advantage of associating with sattus and hearing from them. Because Rukmini never directly met Krishna at this point in time. But she heard from advanced transcendentalists. They came regularly. So the basic lesson in Vedic culture is that we have to learn, we have to hear from advanced devotees regularly, get their association. And by their association, then we come in contact with Krishna. So that is what ISKCON's purpose is. ISKCON's purpose is to give the association of advanced devotees. And that was Prabhupada's, you could say, glory or empowerment, that he was able to create advanced devotees. He's created many advanced devotees. Many of Prabhupada's disciples have become very advanced personalities by his association. And by his association, they became advanced, and now they're purifying us. And in turn, if we become advanced, then we can purify others. That's the system. So here, we see that she did not directly meet with Krishna, but she was hearing from advanced devotees. And by hearing advanced devotees, you directly get Krishna's association. That's why early in the Bhagavatam it says, Krishna is not found. Well, Lord Narayana says, Vishnu, it's not found. Yeah, in various places. The only place that you can actually come in contact with the Lord is where devotees are gathering together and speaking about his glories. And in that association, satsanga, sattu sangha, when you come in the association of advanced devotees and they speak about Krishna, Krishna manifests. That's the system. So she just heard, and then she became attracted. So for us, we need to learn to associate with advanced devotees, which everyone's doing already, but as much as possible. Any points?
Narada is really good. He even told Devi the other about the and he elevated Guru Maharaj, he elevated Prahlad Maharaj. He's spreading Krishna consciousness everywhere.
Anything else?
How do you understand the pastimes of Mira that we are saying Krishna can only marry in 10 provinces? Do we recognize what Krishna had pastimes with Mira? And,
with who?
Mirabai.
I don't know a lot about Mirabai. Any other point?
I heard she was the gopi from the previous.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know much about her, so I can't comment. Bhakti Chiruswami knows a lot about her, so I can ask him. Anything else?
We're attracted to people like us, so the more, the better a devotee you become, the better. The association will get as well.
Yeah, that comes up in this section. Good point. Okay. Lord Krishna knew that Rukmini possessed intelligence, auspicious bodily markings, beauty, proper behavior, and all other good qualities. Concluding that she would be an ideal wife for him, he made up his mind to marry her. Jagannath Ram, you want to read?
Just as Lord Krishna was described as Sudarshan Padma, an ideal husband for Rukmini, being just like her, Rukmini is described as Sadrishim Haryam, an ideal wife for Sri Krishna, being just like him. That is natural, since Srimati Rukmini is Lord Krishna's eternal influence.
Any points?
So it must be the element of the Yoga Maya.
Yeah. Anything else?
It's always advisable to marry. It is advisable that the marriage should happen with the Lombardi counterparts. So that is why I struggle, you should be matched before marriage.
The man can be more qualified than the woman, but the woman cannot be more qualified than the man. Otherwise it will cause him to feel inferior. And that may cause problems in the marriage. Unless he's very advanced, and then he can accept a wife who's more qualified. So, any other point?
Why did he know about her intelligence and body markings and beauty and
he knows everything.
Okay.
He is Supreme Personality of God. It means that the Sri Chaitanya was saying there has to be compatibility between the husband and wife. They have to be equally matched. The husband can be more qualified. The wife should not be more qualified than the husband. Should not be. If she is, then the husband, if he's in the right consciousness, he can still deal with it appropriately. But if he's in material consciousness, he'll feel inferior, and then it'll cause problems.
That's what happened with Devyani.
Yeah. So, Krishna will only appear in the heart of the devotee when the devotee reaches the platform of Shuddha Sattva. Shuddha Sattva means pure goodness. Krishna is not manifesting in our heart yet. Why? Because we are contaminated by the modes of material nature. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. Because we are contaminated, Mishra Sattva. Mishra Sattva means we're mixed by the different modes of nature. And as long as that is there, then Krishna cannot manifest. He can only manifest where there is Shuddha Sattva, which means, Shuddha means pure, when the heart is purified. So that's why Krishna is not manifesting to us. That's why when we go to the holy dham, we can't see Krishna. That's why when we go and take darshan of the deities, then we're not actually seeing Krishna. We're still seeing the deity. Whereas if we were more advanced, then we could speak to the deity, we could relate to the deity, we could have reciprocation with the deity. But we are not on the platform of Shuddha Sattva, pure goodness. So once again, Rukmini, she is Shuddha Sattva, so therefore she can directly have a relationship with Krishna. So when the heart becomes purified, then Krishna will manifest. Most likely our heart will be completely purified very close to our death. Most likely. It'd be hard for us to get to Shuddha Sattva a long way before that. Generally you'll see when devotees are getting close to death, then because of that, then Krishna will give some special reciprocation or some special mercy. And by his special reciprocation and mercy, he can clear away the contamination. Sometimes you see like that. It'll take place. And we saw Venu Gopal Prabhu left his body recently up in New Govardhan. And it seemed that the modes of nature had very much disappeared from his consciousness. So it's only when we get very close to death that these things can disappear. And then Krishna will manifest. If we're qualified. Otherwise you get close to death, and if you're still not qualified, then you can't give up your attachments. Any points?
I'm reading the Damodar Chandra now.
Damodar what?
Damodar Chandra by Shivaram Maharaj.
Okay.
Damodar Chandra. And in that, the demigods are witnessing the pastime that is happening. And there's a nice conversation Maharaj describes between the demigods that is happening. And there the demigods are wondering that why is it that Mother Yashoda has this privilege of tying Krishna? And then Krishna is, you know, like Krishna is thinking and he's responding to the demigods. And he's saying that I am bound only by Rajabhaktas because they have pure spontaneous love for me. I am not bound, I do not manifest myself fully to regulated devotees, like demigods who have all reverence for me. And then he's saying that the only way for them to achieve whatever, you know, the Rajabhaktas are achieving is by actually following in the footsteps of one of the Rajabhaktas. So if anybody who has parental love, they have to take up the mood and serve that Rajabhakta, and only then they can achieve that emotional service. So like we read in Prabhupada's books also, that only by following in the footsteps of the Rajabhakta, the manifesting and going, you know, like following the mood of one of the Rajabhaktas who is moving, you can embark. That is the way to achieve Krishna, Kachika, Shuddha, Sattva, Kachika.
So where is that mentioned in Prabhupada's books? Nectar devotion, yeah. I was thinking specifically nectar instruction. The nectar devotion, yeah. The nectar instruction. So it says that you have to follow in the footsteps of one of the residents of Vrindavan. It says that in the nectar instruction. And then Jamuna, Prabhupada's disciple, Jamuna Devi, she said to Prabhupada, are you that Vrindavan resident that we should find? Prabhupada said yes. So by following Prabhupada, his mood, his mission, then Vrindavan will manifest to us in our consciousness. Right? Because Prabhupada was the eternal resident of Vrindavan. We don't know who he was. He didn't reveal who he was. His Guru Maharaj revealed who he was. Bhaktivinoda Thakur revealed who he was. Gorgashodas Babaji, everyone else did. But Prabhupada didn't reveal who he was. We're not sure. Some followers of Prabhupada say he is in Madhurya Ras, some say he's in Sakya Ras. So it doesn't really matter for us because we're in Tamagun. What?
In what mood he was?
They're all Manjaris. All of them. Manjaris.
Right?
Yeah, all of them are. If you go back all the way through the Manjus. Okay. Because Rukmi envied the Lord, O King, he forbade his family members to give his sister to Krishna. Although they wanted to, instead Rukmi decided to give Rukmini to Shishupal. So when you're envious of someone, your relationship becomes obscured. There's problems. And Prabhupada points out in the first canto, if we're envious of anyone in this world, this means we're still envious of Krishna. If you have any envious feeling whatsoever towards anyone, that means you're still envious of Krishna. And if you're envious, it obscures the relationship. It means you can't have a relationship with someone. If there's envy there, then the relationship becomes unpalatable, it becomes problematic. It becomes obstacles in the relationship. Problems develop. So we have to rid our hearts of envy. So Rukmi, he was envious of Krishna, so he couldn't have a relationship. And what happened to him? What happened to Rukmi? A little bit later on, a few chapters down, then what happens?
Huh?
He's
defeated.
Rukmi.
Actually, he wanted to
kill
Balaram.
He was killed by Balaram.
Yeah, Balaram. You see later on. You see what happens to him. A few more chapters down the track, we see. But Balaram.
In the chess match.
Yeah, they're playing chess. It's on cheating, so Balaram kills him.
Is there any explanation given why Rukmi was envious of Krishna? Was it because of his association with Jarasandha or Kamsa or something like that?
I haven't read anything. Misuse of independence. So many people in Krishna's pastimes don't associate with him properly. So Rukmi is one of them.
Excuse me. Yashrugopal temple, the devotee who was serving that temple, he could talk to the deities.
In the Chaitanya Charitamrita?
Yeah.
Yeah, that passed on. dark-eyed Vaidabhi was aware of this plan and it deeply upset her. Analyzing the situation, she quickly sent a trustworthy brahmana to Krishna. So who did she send to meet Krishna? A brahmana. What's the quality of a brahmana? Yeah, it's one of the qualities. Satcha. Samo, damas, tapaha, soljam. Shantya, ajana, evacha. So satcham. This is one of the qualities of a devotee, also a brahmana. Krishna mentions this in the Gita as well. Pure qualities. So he has control of his senses. Damas. When you read the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says brahminical qualities. Samo, equipoise. Dhamma. What does Dhamma mean? Samo, Dhamma, Tapas, Socham. Dhamma means?
Control of
sense. I mean sense control. Has control of the senses. If someone doesn't have control of their senses, you cannot trust them. You cannot trust them. Someone can't control the mind or the senses. It means we can't trust that person. You don't know what they're going to do. What will they do next? You don't know. That's the problem these days. We have leaders in the world. You can't trust them. You don't know what they're going to do. Because everyone in this world is in it for themselves. Like last night, I had to go to dinner with my wife's kind of like family and friends and like that. So then one of the ladies there, she's trying to argue with me that coffee is good for you. So I said to her, coffee is not good for you. It's bad for you. It's not good for you. She said, no, the scientists say it is good for you. Right? So she's in it for herself. She likes to drink coffee. That's the bottom line. So to do what you want to do, separate from Krishna, or to have your sense gratification, you'll justify it any way, shape, or form. She said, there's evidence. I said, there's also evidence. You just look. Go on the internet. Negative effects of coffee. You'll get a whole lot of evidence. Positive effects of coffee. You'll get a whole lot of evidence. So it's just whatever you want to do. So it means basically what she... And she was getting a little bit disturbed because I was being very... Right. I was not compromising.
So you were being...
Uncompromising. Yeah, all the time. I don't compromise. So I was being uncompromising with her, and she was, arguing the point. But the reason she's arguing the point is because it was just to justify her sense gratification. In other words, she doesn't have control of her senses. Devotees have control of our senses. Because we're not supposed to take tea, coffee, chocolate, all these things. It's not a big deal for us. The food which is not offered to Krishna. You can come and you can offer something, but for a devotee, he says, no, it's not palatable. It's not offered to Krishna. Devotee has control of the senses. If someone has control of the senses, you can trust the person. If they don't have control, you can't trust them. That's why she chose this brahmana. Rukmini said, this brahmana can deliver the message. Why? Because I can trust him. If you can't trust people, then it becomes a big problem. And that's the problem these days. All these people, you can't trust them. Because they don't actually have real control of their senses. They will compromise. A devotee means a good devotee. He will not compromise. Someone who's advanced, they don't compromise. Because their senses are controlled, their mind is controlled. Because they've given the mind and the senses to Krishna. So Rukmini, she sends a brahmana, a pure brahmana. So, any point?
The problem is so many advertisements probably. Because see, they are saying the green tea is shooting, is an antioxidant and the extract of the onions and garlic because it will lower your cholesterol,
in all of those things.
Yeah, because those things are true. So, I mean, like garlic has good effect.
Yeah.
Garlic has good effect. But Krishna says, I don't eat it. So then we say, okay, we don't touch it.
Yes, those people who are not Krishna consciousness, I mean, in Krishna, then they go, this is good, I should take it.
Yeah, of course, because they compromise.
Yeah.
And everything that is good for the body is not good for the soul.
Yeah, that's another point. Yeah, I mean, bottom line, we don't do things because it doesn't please Krishna. But they're not leaving for Krishna's pleasure. I told her the only thing coffee is good for is enema. Enema means you stick it up your bottom and you cleanse the bottom. It's good for that. Coffee is good for that. Cleanses the colon. Like
that
wasn't a very nice thing to say at dinner. I said it to her. So the only good thing it's for is enema. And cleanse your bottom. That's good. Otherwise, it doesn't have benefit.
Is it what about betel nut?
What about betel nut? Devotees don't take it. Devotees don't take it. It's in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya says you're not allowed to take it.
So what do we offer it to the deities?
The deity can take it.
So what are we supposed to do with the...
Bury it, I suppose, or put it in the ocean or something.
There are more than enough people who take it. Maybe they can give them their mahaprasad.
Yeah, that's another thing you can do. Yeah, we don't take it, so.
But is it intoxication?
It's intoxicating. Mm-hmm. Krishna takes it, but Krishna is Krishna, so he can do what he wants to do. So. When you go to the spiritual world, everyone uses it. So if you go out to the spiritual world, you know, you're off the hook. Up there is different. You know, everything's different up there. So up there you can take it, but down here you're not allowed to take it. So. Upon reaching Dwarka, the Brahmana was brought inside by the gatekeepers and saw the prime evil, personality of Godhead, sitting on a golden throne. So why did they let him in?
Brahma.
This also happens when Sudama, later on, we'll read in the future, Sudama also goes to visit, and he goes straight in. If you have Brahminical qualities, then people trust you. So you have to develop those good qualities. Yeah, we should all be able to trust each other. That's the point. We should be able to trust each other. Yeah. If we can't, then ISKCON is not successful. It has to be different inside. Because you can't always trust everyone out there. Even my family, like I can trust them, you know, on big things and that, but day-to-day things, sometimes they can be funny. You know? I can't always trust them. You know, like I can trust the devotees. They'll say one thing, I mean, in big things, yeah, I can trust them. But on just small day-to-day things, you can't always trust. But devotees should not be like that. We should be able to trust fully. I think nearly everyone here I can trust completely. It's true. That's true. I would put my life in the hands of most of the people in this room. That's trust. We need to have that trust. If you don't have it, then there's a problem. So ISKCON has to become like that. It has to become fully trustworthy. All the relationships have to be real. They cannot be obscured. Especially in a forum like this. You know, sometimes some devotees over the years, not now, but over the years, you know, 15 years I've been doing these classes, sometimes it came to my attention that some of the devotees were not talking and they were having conflict. So I got them. I said, you come and we'll speak about this. Because I said, this is not the right forum for this. Devotees have to trust each other properly. We have to clear these problems. And those problems there, you have to clear them. There must always be trust between the devotees.
But we are not that advanced that we can trust everybody.
No, not trust everyone, but you have to trust. You have to be able to trust most of the devotees.
Yeah.
Seeing the Brahmana, Sri Krishna, Lord of the Brahmanas, came down from his throne and seated him. Then the Lord worshipped him just as he himself is worshipped by the demigods. So, Go Brahmana, he Dayacha. Krishna, it specifically says that Krishna very much favors the brahmanas. Because the brahmanas have good qualities. Krishna likes good qualities. If you want to get Krishna's association, you have to have good qualities. If we don't have good qualities, you can't get Krishna's association. If you don't have good qualities, you can't get advanced devotees association. Advanced devotees don't want to be around you. Unless your qualities are exalted. So we have to develop good qualities. And then the advanced devotees will want to give us their association. So what to speak of Krishna? Krishna only is only going to give you association if you develop brahminical qualities, good qualities. Shuddha sattva means pure qualities. 26 qualities of the devotee. Kripalu, akrita droha, sachasara, sama. Lord Chaitanya gives 26 qualities. I memorize them. I can't remember them now. I'd have to go back through the list and see. But I memorized them at one point. Because these are the qualities that we have to have because they attract Krishna. Kripalu, first quality, means you have to be compassionate. If you're not compassionate, you don't attract Krishna. Akrita droha means not defiant, humble. If you're not humble, you don't attract Krishna. Sacha. Sacha sara means you have to be honest. And I'm working on this myself because I don't always tell the truth. I don't. I can honestly say I don't always tell the truth. Sometimes I'm a little bit not in a way that would ever hurt anyone. I'll never tell a lie that will hurt someone. But I'm a little bit sneaky. And I'm working on that in myself because I can see it in myself. It's something I need to work on. I don't know if I'll overcome it 100%, but it has to be better than what it is at the moment. So I'm working on that. It's an impurity. And the reason we're dishonest is because we don't trust Krishna. Because if we trusted Krishna, we would just tell the truth and then we'd leave it up to him. But sometimes I tell a little bit lies just so I can kind of adjust things for myself. You don't like that. But it's not as surrendered as it could be. Sachasara. What is that? Kripalu, Krita, Sachasara, Sama. Devotee is equipoised. We have to learn to be equipoised, not always up and down. Very nice when we're at the temple to the devotees, when we get home with the family, throwing pots and frying pans and all those things. It should not be like that. At the temple, we're very saintly. We get home, the husband and wife is like, some different thing. Should not be like that. Hare Krishna. I know what goes on behind all your doors. Hare Krishna.
Can we say that Krishna likes cows more than the Brahmanas?
Yeah, it says that. Prabhupada says that. Oh yeah, we had a cow, not last night, night before. New calf.
Oh,
new calf.
Yeah, new calf. Full moon night, Saturday night.
Oh, beautiful.
Full moon. I wasn't there, but Manigriva Prabhu said calf was born at 12 o'clock at night. Moon was full, and he said everything was peaceful, and there were no clouds in the sky, and just like the moonlight, everything was very mystical. And actually, it was called Vasant Ras. It was when Krishna was doing Rasa Leela, and Balaram Rasa Yatra, which means Lord Balaram was also doing Rasa dance. And because that farm is non-different from the holy dar, Krishna and Balaram were doing some Rasa Leela, and the cow manifests at that time. And it's actually the time when Krishna is doing Rasa Leela as well. And because born under the full moon, Manigriva called Chandrika.
Very auspicious.
Chandrika means moonbeam. And my wife went and saw her today. It's a very sweet nature. Very auspicious.
He was awake,
wasn't he? What's
that? Manigriva Prabhu was awake.
Yeah, because he's a Vaishya. If the cow's been born, he has to get up every couple of hours to go out and check. So he went out at 11:30 and the cow was not there. Then he came back at 3 o'clock and the calf was there.
So they don't need assistance?
Not always. Sometimes, but not always. He just came and the calf was there. on the ground. So.
But they don't have to cut the umbilical cord or something?
The afterbirth just comes out and then.
Okay.
Sometimes you have to cut, but other times. After the Brahmana had eaten and rested, Sri Krishna, the goal of saintly devotees, came forward and, while massaging the Brahmana's feet with his own hands, he patiently questioned him as follows. So one of the beautiful things about Krishna's pastimes, and that's something that's always attracted me to Krishna, is that Krishna himself is so cultured. Yeah, he's the Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality, but he massages the feet of the Brahmanas.
Extremely cultured.
Such a cultured person. And it's something that attracts me to Krishna. Because sometimes I don't like to offer respect to other people. Sometimes I, like, you know, I should offer respect, but I hold back. Yeah, I think we all do that. Sometimes we should offer respect, but we kind of hold back. But Krishna doesn't. He doesn't do that. Krishna offers respect. He goes and massages their feet and offers such a cultured personality, such a exalted personality. So he's showing us how we should deal with exalted guests and personalities.
The Brahman was actually under time pressure, right? Because of marriage coming very quickly, he had a very short time to come and go back and still... This time is spent in receiving him and all that. Krishna also knew there was time pressure, but they're still spending this extra time receiving each other.
Yeah, very cultured.
Nand Maharaj was also very cultured. When Uddhava went to Vrindavan, Nand Maharaj himself was massaging.
Yeah, it's part of Vedic culture. When someone comes to your home, you have to receive them very warmly. That. It's something we don't maybe understand or practice or have within us so much, like in the Vedic time. But we should learn to receive the guests very warmly.
Atithi seva.
Yeah. Should be done very warmly. But I don't think we always do it as well as we should.
We see that they used to come walking people, but now everybody comes in the car.
That's true. That's true. The Supreme Lord said, "O best of exalted Brahmanas, are your religious practices sanctioned by senior authorities, proceeding without great difficulty? Is your mind always fully satisfied?" John, would you like to read them?
Here we have translated the word dharma as religious practice. Although this does not fully convey the Sanskrit sense of the word, Krishna did not appear within a secular society. The people in Vedic times could hardly imagine a society that did not understand the need to obey God's law. Thus, to them, the word dharma conveyed a sense of duty in general, high principles, prescribed duty, and so on. It was automatically understood that such duties were within a religious context. But religion in those days was not a specific aspect or department of life, but rather a guiding light for all activities. Irreligious life was considered demonic, and God's hand was seen in everything.
So any points? So what does Krishna say to the Brahmana? Are your religious practices, are they proceeding without difficulty? And? The second thing he says?
Is
your mind satisfied? So, if our, you could say for us, our sadhana, if it is proceeding without difficulty, sometimes in our lives, everything just goes very smoothly. Sometimes our sadhana just goes very smoothly. And as it says here, our mind is just satisfied. We're just very peaceful. You know, you experience that sometimes. Maybe it was so long ago you can't remember what it was like, but sometimes it's like that. Our lives is very peaceful. Yeah, that's a great blessing when that happens. When it happens for me, because sometimes it happens, like everything's just very peaceful and my sadhana is just going very nicely. When that happens, I really take advantage of it, because I understand it's not going to last. Yeah, that's my experience. It never lasts. Like about 10 days ago, everything was just going really smoothly. And then suddenly I hit, as we do in life, we hit a speed hump. And then it's taken me about 10 days to get balanced again. And just that's the way life is. So sometimes if it's going well, then take advantage of it. And I heard a nice saying, I think it was today actually I heard, from Bruce Lee. Anyone know Bruce Lee? Hands up if you know. Oh, you all know. I didn't know if you knew, seriously, but he was expert karate. But he said many wise things, many wise things. He had some realizations, actually. So today I heard a saying from him. He said, do not pray for an easy life. Because many of us pray like that. Oh, I just want an easy life. Krishna, make it all easy. He said, pray for the strength to deal with the challenges in life.
Yeah.
So don't pray for it to be easy, but pray for strength to deal with the challenges. Because that's the reality. The reality is it's going to be challenging. Yeah, this life is never going to be easy. It's going to be challenging. But if you're feeling challenged, you just remember Bruce Lee. And give him strength. Because actually the Bhagavatam says in the 11th canto, anyone can be your guru. It says that. Right? Bhagavatam says the python can be your guru. It says so many things are your guru like that. So Bruce Lee is also our guru. 24
gurus.
Yeah, 24 gurus again. And actually it says you can take gold from a filthy place. And Chanakya says you can take wisdom even from a unqualified person. So Bruce Lee, you know, we can say, oh, you know, he had that fault. We've all got faults, but sometimes he said very powerful things. Actually, it inspired me today when I read that. Because I was thinking in my mind, sometimes I do pray in my mind, oh, Krishna, just make it easy. But then I thought, actually, that's not the reality. The reality is I have to pray to have strength to deal with the challenges, because the challenges are not going to stop. Actually, my Guru Maharaj says it gets worse. One time he said, everyone says it gets better, but he said it doesn't, it gets worse. Just gets more challenging as life goes by.
So.
Yeah. Bruce Lee Key. When a Brahmana is satisfied with whatever comes his way and does not fall away from his religious duties, those very religious principles become his desire cow, fulfilling all his wishes. So, if you want to attain Krishna, you have to do tapasya. That's why Rishabdeva says, tapo divyam. You must do tapasya. And you must learn the art of inner satisfaction, sama. Sama means like equanimity in devotional service. We have to learn to become like that. Self-satisfied, satisfied within. Not disturbed by external circumstances. So if you want to attain Krishna, you have to develop that kind of tatiksha. Tatiksha means tolerance in devotional service.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Someone
say? I just sneezed.
Oh, okay.
What do you mean by this desire cow?
Desire cow means like a wish fulfilling cow. It's just an analogy, that's all.
Should I try to read up the right stuff?
one follows dharma, then dharma itself fulfills all the others.
Hmm. Yeah. So for us, the highest dharma is bhakti, devotion. So we know that when you do bhakti, when you really surrender, then all your needs are taken care of. Like that. You know, we see it in our life. You know, when we really surrender to Krishna and we try to give everything to Krishna, then everything becomes taken care of. Yeah. And I've seen that. I've seen many devotees who gave so much to Krishna and then Krishna just looks after them. Everything gets taken care of.
So. I know a gentleman in Melbourne. He gives so much charity and he's always happy and he has got a lot of money. He's getting so much money from Lord. By giving, he's getting more and more and more.
But is he giving to Krishna? That's the point.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
He gave, for example, $30,000 for TOEP. Only recently.
Yeah, and then everything comes. Yep, good point. An unsatisfied brahmana wanders restlessly from one planet to another, even if he becomes king of heaven. But a satisfied brahmana, though he may possess nothing, rests peacefully, all his limbs free of distress. So, hands up if you'd like to rest peacefully with all your limbs free of distress.
That would be good.
Hands up if you do rest peacefully with all your limbs free from distress. So, how does this take place? You have to become detached from this world. When we're not, like the Brahmana, he's not detached. He's not attached. So therefore, he's peaceful. Why do we have anxieties? Why can't we sleep at night? Because we're not peaceful, we're not detached. As long as we're attached to this world, then you will have so much anxiety. But when we become detached, then you will actually be peaceful. Like I said to you last week, you know, I got that WhatsApp message and my guru was there. And then I looked in the picture, I was just behind him. I got another one a couple of days ago, actually. I'm in the picture again. So whenever I get them and I'm in the picture, then I think he's giving me a special message. Right. And last week, basically the message he was saying is you have to let go of this world. He was saying that to me. And it gave me realizations. I have to let go of this world. And that's what this brahmana is like. A brahmana is one who is detached. When you let go, there's no anxiety. Right? As long as you're holding on to something in this world, there's anxiety. We're all in anxiety, right? Right? So that means because you're attached to something in this world. If you were detached from that thing, you'd have no anxiety. So it's simple. Right? So at the end of your life, you have to be detached. Otherwise, you won't be peaceful and you have to come back again into this world. So, any points?
We say, with knowledge comes detachment.
That's why you have to read and you have to hear all the time. Then you become detached. I repeatedly bow my head in respect to those brahmanas who are satisfied with their lot. Saintly, prideless, and peaceful, they are the best well wishers of all living beings. So this is called self-realization. Self-realization can be defined in part by the description in this verse. If you're self-realized, you'll be saintly, which means you'll have good qualities. That's a symptom of self-realization. Right? You will be prideless. If we've got pride, that means we're not self-realized, because a self-realized person is prideless. And you'll be peaceful.
Like Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah, Prabhupada has all those qualities.
SPP.
Yeah. So he's peaceful. If you're not peaceful, that means you're not self-realized. And they are the best well wishes of all living beings. So if you're self-realized, you have genuine spiritual concern for all the living entities. If you're not self-realized, you don't feel like that. You don't have real concern for the other living entities. So this shows, right? Krishna is defining what is self-realization.
That's the problem. A peaceful person generally does not get heart attack in moments like this. So how do we explain the two things? If you are in anxiety, that leads to heart attacks.
You mean physical heart attack? If you're not peaceful, you get heart attack. I don't understand what your point is.
If you are satisfied without anxiety,
yeah,
then you don't have generally heart attacks. People get heart attacks because they have anxiety. And
yeah, that's one reason. So the other reason is you eat the wrong food.
What?
Eat the wrong food.
Right.
So you might be peaceful, but if you're not eating properly, you might have a heart attack anyway. And if you eat the right food, then if you're not peaceful, you might have a heart attack. There's lots of reasons why it happens. Any other point?
Probably if you are a well-wisher, that creates a bit of problem too, because people bring their, you know, anxiety to you, and you have got to satisfy them.
No, well-wisher means spiritual well-wisher, that's all.
But then no, they come, I mean, even Sanatana Goswami, whenever he used to go, he used to, there used to be a problem in the family, and he used to solve all the problems and everything.
Yeah, but they were bridge. They were bridge buses and all those things.
Yes, that takes time. So.
Yeah, it's tricky. You're dealing with people, and it's like, you know, Easter. You know, we just had Easter, so I had to go and see my family, and then all of that. But it's all mundane. It's all just, you know.
Not only if they are sick or something.
Yeah, then help as much as you can.
Yeah, but it takes time. So.
The main thing is you have to give Krishna consciousness. That's the point.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you
have
to give both.
Yeah, you do have to give both. You have an obligation to give material, but you can't give material without the spiritual. Both have to
be.
Yeah,
that's true. But
you have to be like Murari Gupta.
Huh?
You have to be like Murari Gupta. It said that he healed the physical, but also the spiritual disease.
Yeah.
You have to do both.
It takes time, you see. That's
everything true. Takes time.
Lord
Hanuman. Everything takes time. O Brahmana, is your king attending to your welfare? Indeed, that king in whose country the citizens are happy and protected is very dear to me. Mm. So now Krishna, very interesting here. This, I was studying this today. It's a very powerful section because Krishna himself is speaking. So Krishna is speaking about leadership now. So what's a very, and Krishna is giving a very important symptom of someone who's a good leader. How do we know if someone's a good leader? Because everyone's happy around him. If you're not happy, the person's not a very good leader. Right? So we see, if we have good leaders in ISKCON, people are happy. Devotees are happy. We see, you know, if everyone's happy, that means the leaders are good. Yeah. If the devotees are not happy, it means the leader's not doing a good job. Yeah. So here Krishna is saying, this is the definition. Yeah. A good leader means everyone must be happy. I mean, not everyone can be happy. That's, you know, unless you've got someone like Krishna, then everyone will be happy. That's true. That's true. Whence have you come? Crossing the impassable sea. And for what purpose? Explain all this to us, if it is not a secret, and tell us what we may do for you. So once again, Krishna is speaking very respectfully to the Brahma. I mean, this is God himself. But he's speaking so cultured, so respectfully. What can we do for you? If you think it is appropriate, please tell us. Such culture. Thus questioned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who incarnates to perform his pastimes, the Brahmana told him everything. Sri Rukmini said, now this is very beautiful. Now Rukmini, we're going to hear her letter that she's written to Krishna. Sri Rukmini said in her letter, as read by the Brahmana, O beauty of the worlds, having heard of your qualities which enter the ears of those who hear and remove their bodily distress, and having also heard of your beauty which fulfills all the visual desires of those who see, I have fixed my shameless mind upon you, O Krishna. So, Tita, what are you doing?
Rose and herb cocktails, yeah?
Yes. Do you want them?
Yeah.
Do you want another pair? There's another pair here.
No, this is
fine.
It's
okay? Yeah. Thank you. Don't ever disturb my class again. He's a good friend. Did I finish reading the verse?
Yes.
So, Rukmini is very high class people. Right? She is a Kshatriya, yeah, princess. A very high class. One of the most powerful qualities of the Kshatriya is their courage. Actually, it says, Kshatriya is always compared to lions and lionesses. Actually, lions are like Kshatriyas. It's the other way around. The lion is brave like a Kshatriya. Kshatriyas are so powerful, so courageous. This is the quality. To be a leader, you must have this quality. You must be courageous. Courage, like a lion. So she is like that. She has that. These are high class people. This is in the previous times. That's why they become the leaders, because they have this genuine courage to defend, and the princesses have it as well. It's not just the. That's why they're royalty. We see these days now we have the Queen of England and Prince Charles, actually, I saw him a couple of days ago. He's even saying to Australia, become a republic now. Like, break your connection with the royal family. He's saying it, and he's the next in line to be the king. Because they're not really Kshatriyas.
Mm.
They don't have that quality of these previous Kshatriyas. So Rukmini was so courageous. So she's speaking to Krishna, come. Show your prowess. And if you don't come, I'll give up my life. That's the quality of the people. Such powerful, powerful personalities. I mean, of course, they're eternal associates of the Lord, but this is the quality of the higher classes. Now, what is she showing us? She's willing to renounce everything for... Krishna, everything. She'll renounce the entire universe. She only wants Krishna. That's how fixed we have to be to get Krishna. O Mukunda, you are equal only to yourself in lineage, character, beauty, knowledge, youthfulness, wealth, and influence. O lion among men, you delight the minds of all mankind. What aristocratic, sober-minded, and marriageable girl of a good family would not choose you as her husband when the proper time has come? So actually, she calls Krishna in this verse. Nrisimha. She calls him Nrisimha. Nrisimha means...
Lion man.
You are a lion man. Not Nrisimha Dev, half man, half lion, but you are a lion man. A real hero. So that's how she's addressing him. And that's what Krishna is actually like. Therefore, my dear Lord, I have chosen you as my husband, and I surrender myself to you. Please come swiftly, O Almighty One, and make me your wife. My dear lotus-eyed Lord, let Shishupal never touch the hero's portion like a jackal stealing the property of a lion. So actually, normally a woman would never do this. It's not cultured for a woman to write a letter and say, come and steal me. Yeah, it's not cultured. But she is so intensely attached to Krishna, she'll even, like the gopis, she'll even go beyond social etiquettes. She's writing to Krishna and she's saying, I will have no one but you. So that is their intense attachment. So she says, just come, just steal me and fight these chatris. If I have sufficiently worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead by pious works, sacrifices, charity, rituals and vows, and also by worshipping the demigods, brahmanas and gurus, then may Gadagraja come and take my hand, and not Dhammaghosha's son or anyone else. So she's saying, I will have only Krishna, no one else. Tatra Loyam, then Rupa Goswami says, the only qualification there is to attain Krishna is lopa. Lopa means greed. Right? She will have no one but Krishna. We should also develop that type of devotion. We'll have no one but Krishna. And she says she is willing to wait many lives to attain Krishna. That should also be our resolve. I don't have that kind of bhakti. Yeah, my bhakti is the kind of bhakti I have in saying to Krishna, I'll give you this life, but make sure, you know, and just the thought of going back and doing it again, like I'm thinking, oh, God. But she's so attached, she's saying, even if I have to do that, I'll come back. Now, I can't honestly say I'm on that level. Yeah, maybe when I get more advanced, I'll get on that level. At the moment, you know, it's not a very appealing prospect. Come back again. Oh, unconquerable one, tomorrow when my marriage ceremony is about to begin, you should arrive unseen in Vidarbha and surround yourself with the leaders of your army. Then crush the forces of Chaitya and Magadendra and marry me in the Rakshasa style, winning me with your valor. Quite an amazing pastime, because she's written to him. The brahmanas travelled across to Dwarka, right? The thousands of miles have to be covered, and now she's saying you have to get here by tomorrow. And he actually does it. Tomorrow he's there, and he has to go thousands of kilometres to get to her. He does it in a few moments.
For Krishna, anything is possible.
Anything. Since I will be staying within the inner chambers of the palace, you may wonder, how can I carry you away without killing some of your relatives? But I shall tell you a way. On the day before the marriage, there is a grand procession to honor the royal family's deity. And in the procession, the new bride goes outside the city to visit goddess Girija. O lotus-eyed one, great souls like Lord Shiva hanker to bathe in the dust of your lotus feet and thereby destroy their ignorance. If I cannot obtain your mercy, I shall simply give up my vital force, which will have become weak from the severe penances I will perform. Then, after hundreds of lifetimes of endeavor, I may obtain your mercy. The brahmana said, this is the confidential message I have brought with me, O Lord of the Yadus. Please consider what must be done in these circumstances and do it at once. So Prabhupada said that before we do anything, we should think about it. He said 1,000 times. Before you do anything, you should think about it 1,000 times. But when you've got the indication from Krishna that it's the right thing to do, then you should act immediately. So Krishna, she's saying to Krishna, think about it and act very quickly because there's not much time. Shrila Prabhupada ki.